Welcome to episode 5 of the Transforma tu Inglés Profesional podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Smith. Today, I will be talking with Alistair, an amazing coach from my team, all about why I'm feeling under the weather, a few alternatives to translating the word ganas, the many contexts within which you can use the word fancy, and how to use the words mates and partner correctly. This podcast is aimed at helping you push your business and communication skills to the next level so that you can grow professionally and achieve your international career goals. So, without further ado, let's get straight into it. Enjoy!
Hi, Alistair. How are you today?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
Well, actually, to be honest, I'm feeling a little bit under the weather. And I was thinking that maybe we could actually explain that expression to our listeners. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I'm sorry to hear that. What's wrong? Why are you feeling under the weather?
Well, just not been feeling quite right. Got a bit of a runny nose and just feeling not my normal
self. Not 100%.
No, yes. Yeah.
Bit of a cold or something like that.
That's right. So hopefully I'll get better over the next few days. But at the moment, I'm certainly feeling a little bit under the weather. Mm. And that is an expression that I think is quite useful, right? But it's probably, if I said that to many of my clients, they probably would be quite a little bit confused by it, to be honest.
Yes. Well, literally, you know, under the weather doesn't seem to make much sense. People would associate it with the weather. So what, the weather's right. Bad or?
Exactly.
And yeah, so it's one of those phrases you just need to understand that it means not feeling too good, not 100%, little
exactly.
Bit ill,
yeah,
but not really bad. So like you're able to do this podcast, thankfully. So you're not so bad you're in bed and able to work, but you're just not feeling 100%. No?
Exactly. And that's why it's kind of a useful expression, right? Because you probably would still be in the office or you'd still be there, right? So it's not as if you are really feeling absolutely
not off
terrible.
Work,
you
know? Sick.
Yes, that's right.
You say, I'm just feeling a bit under the weather, not too good. Or maybe you can feel that you're going to be sick, like when you just begin with the symptoms of a cold or a flu.
Yes.
So the first day when you're, not feeling too good. I think I'm getting... Often you say it with, I think I'm getting a cold or I think I'm getting a flu. So you feel the beginning, you know, the first symptoms are a bit under the weather today.
That's right. Yeah. And it can be just be when you feel a bit tired. You're not actually sure whether it's actually going to develop into
maybe
a full
it's
cold.
Nothing, no? It doesn't turn into anything. It's just one day.
A bit
tired, as you say, perhaps.
Yeah. And it's kind of like links with that. There's this whole idea of like lots of clients ask me, how do you say tengo mocos or something like that? You know? And it's kind of very difficult to give an English translation to that, right? I mean, like, if you know, what kind of symptoms do you have? Well, tengo mocos, you know, and it's called
a runny nose.
A runny nose. That's the only one that I would potentially use in English.
Because literally, is I have snots. Yes. You wouldn't say that word. Well, I mean, sometimes kids, you might say, oh, it's snotty. I've got a snotty nose.
That's right.
But it's not exactly rude, but it's maybe something you wouldn't say in certain company, no?
That's right, definitely.
In Spanish, it sounds fine, but it sounds a little... So you'd probably just say, got a bit of a cold. Bit congested.
Yeah, you can say congested.
Blocked nose.
A blocked nose.
I suppose it's the opposite. A runny nose is it's running.
That's right.
Is it's not running.
That's right. But it's just one of those kind of expressions that is so easy to say in Spanish. But then when you're asked for a translation,
you're like, well, I've got snots. No, you wouldn't really say that.
That's right.
Mucus. So, I mean, literally, is I have mucus.
That's right.
Because we have the word mucus, but nobody uses it. It's like a medical term. So a doctor in a hospital, they might say mucus. But normal people, normally, we don't use that word, really.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, there's a classic here, of course. You probably know what I'm going to say. A classic mistake of Spanish speakers translating is to say that they are constipated.
Oh, yes, of course.
Which always makes every English teacher ever it's very difficult not to laugh.
That's
when
true.
I say that. So that's why right. why is that so funny, Daniel, when the student tells you they're constipated?
Well, it's basically because they obviously they're translating directly there from constipado, right? Which but when you say constipated in English, it means estreñido, right? Estreñido.
Yeah, you're unable to go to the toilet.
That's right. That's right.
So it's exactly. quite different. So when students say that, I always say, "Oh, I think that's too much information,"
yes.
and they're like, well, "What?" and then I have to explain. So I'm yeah. not sure I want to know that.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, so there you go. All of that from that one expression of,
I'm feeling
a little bit under the weather. But thankfully, you know, I don't have a blocked nose and generally I sound sort of all right. So I thought it would be okay to continue with the podcast today. Anyway, good. So in the last episode, we were talking a little bit right at the end about looking forward to, right? And mm-hmm. the different ways that you can potentially use that in written form and also in verbal form. And of course, we were talking about the gerund form in terms of like when you're just talking about to someone about what you're looking forward to, and then also when you put it at the end of an email, right? So yeah. so that's it's a really important differentiation there. But what we also were kind of thinking about was the fact that that translation of looking forward to into Spanish can be obviously in many cases we would say tener ganas, right?
Yeah.
But in that particular situation, often tener ganas is actually a bit of a wider expression. It can be actually used in Spanish in a sort of a variety of different situations, right? So we wanted to give our listeners sort of the other alternatives they could use when they're thinking of that particular expression in their head, right?
Yeah. Well, I think it depends what you're talking about. So when you say look forward to, which you could also translate, as you say, there isn't exactly a phrase in Spanish, look forward to.
No.
So you have to get the nearest, which could be ganas, but mm-hmm. it's also like tener ilusión, maybe. So it's when you're excited and emotional thinking about something that you want to do in the future, but you have it already planned. So I think for example, if you haven't seen your brother for a long time since before the pandemic, so a lot of people haven't seen family and friends over the last 2 years, no? So sure. imagine you're going to see your brother who lives in the UK is flying to meet you. Mm. So you say, oh, tengo ganas de ver mi hermano, no? Mm. So you say, I'm really looking forward to seeing my brother.
Yeah.
And then it translates fine, no? Because you have Absolutely. This event yeah. in the future.
Yeah.
Or your holidays. So you have something planned in the future, like your holidays or the weekend or seeing a person. And then, yes, that's looking forward to. But then you can also say ganas to say, tengo ganas de comer pizza or salir este fin de or ir a un restaurante or jugar yeah. football. And then you yeah. wouldn't say look forward to, because obviously that thing is not planned. It's
exactly.
not a planned event in the future.
Yeah, it is very much connected to that idea of whether it's a plan, right? Is yeah, because yeah. like if it's specifically, you know, organized, then you know I'm looking forward to going to see that football match, right? Or I'm yeah. looking forward to going to the theater or to the cinema, right?
Yeah, because you have a ticket, so yeah. you have written yeah. in your diary in your phone, you know, Saturday you're going to the theater and
exactly.
you're going to see a play and you're really looking forward to seeing this play, you're very excited about it.
Yeah.
But if it's like something when it's something you would like to do or like to eat. So maybe you really want to eat pizza this weekend or go out to an Italian restaurant.
Yeah.
So you don't have anything already pre-booked, or the pizza obviously doesn't exist in the future as an event. It's something you want to
yeah.
eat.
Yeah.
So in that sense of tener ganas, you couldn't say you're looking forward to it, no?
No,
it's
no,
not something
no,
that's already
no, that's
existing
right,
in the future.
That's right.
Planned,
that's right. No? Yeah. Yeah.
So what would you say, I don't know, when you really feel you really want or really you'd really like to do something?
Yeah, I mean, I think we were talking about this obviously before before the episode, right? But there could be two different options really there. It would be like I feel like or potentially I fancy. And those kind of work both very very nicely in that sort of situation. And I think that it's exactly what you mentioned, right? It's the idea that you're kind of making that decision at that particular moment, right? You're kind of at least expressing it. You're kind of saying, oh, I fancy a beer, you know, or
yeah.
whatever. Yeah, but that is because it's kind of popped into your head at that particular moment.
Yeah.
It's certainly not that nothing that has been planned in the
exactly.
past, you know? So there
so
is
like,
an important
oh, I really feel, there, you know? I feel like going out this weekend, or I feel like going away for the weekend, or I feel like eating pizza.
Mm.
So yeah, it's something you would like to do or want to do, but it's not a planned event.
Absolutely.
Like you've already arranged to meet somebody who's coming to visit you, or a holiday next week.
Yeah.
Or going to a football match, or the theatres, you have a ticket already, no?
Exactly. Exactly.
So you couldn't translate it with look forward to. So it depends. So yeah, fancy, you fancy do it. It's also followed by the gerund, the same. Mm-hmm. So you fancy doing something,
mm-hmm.
Or you feel like doing something. I feel like going walking in the mountains this weekend, or,
mm-hmm. yeah.
or eating a particular dish.
Yeah. And I think most of our listeners will probably know that expression, I feel like, right? That is something. But the second one, I fancy, is one that is, I would say, a little bit more advanced, I would say. You know, I mean, if a client of mine said, oh, I fancy doing this, then I'd be quite impressed, let's say.
Yeah, impressed. If they said, do you fancy meeting for a beer?
Yeah.
Do you fancy going for a beer?
Yeah.
I wouldn't expect one of my clients to say that.
No.
You'd think, have you lived in the UK or...
Yeah, exactly.
Or something, or you have a friend who's...
Yeah.
It's very British as well. I'm not sure Americans use fancy in that way.
True, true. They would certainly understand you, I think.
Yeah, that's they'd understand sure, but, it, but yeah. I'm not sure they would use fancy.
No.
Because there are other meanings of fancy, which
maybe
we could go into in another podcast.
Episode. Yeah, that's right.
But, well, we could say now, you can also fancy a person. What would that mean, Daniel, if you fancy... Do you have a Hollywood film star that you fancy?
Well, not particularly, but I mean, yeah, basically it's kind of that you're attracted to that particular person, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's an important second meaning of the word fancy, right? And it's important to know that, but it's definitely in the context of sort of a business environment, then clearly
you wouldn't use that.
you might potentially, but
not in a business sense, obviously, because it's quite colloquial.
Yes. But that is kind of like a definitely a good one. And certainly, like, if you are showing somebody around, like, obviously, you know, you and I, we live in Madrid, but if you were like saying to your client that you wanted to show them the city, and you could, it's a good way, for example, potentially to say, what do you fancy doing this evening? For example,
you
can say like as well, you know, but you know, both of those are really good options in terms of, you know, potentially.
I think British people use it a lot, fancy, in various meanings, but you'd say, do you fancy going for a beer? What do you fancy doing this evening? What do you fancy eating? Do you fancy Italian or sushi?
Yeah.
So that meaning of what would you like to do or what do you want is very common with fancy, no?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great one. It is a great one.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it certainly, certainly, you know, shows a higher level of English. That's without a doubt. I mean, somebody who would use that type of expression for me would be, you know, you almost say, wow, okay, you know, they're getting up to sort of much more advanced level. And, you know, it's those sort of details that are so, differentiate different levels of English, don't you think?
Yes, yeah, I think so. Yeah. Well, a lot of Spanish speakers would, taking it to another meaning, would they know the expression fancy dress? So there's an interesting one.
Yeah, fancy dress.
No?
Yes, yes.
So you
yes.
dress up in a fancy dress costume for Halloween or carnival.
Yeah.
We just had carnival recently, no? And I've been talking about this with people.
Oh, they're really? Like,
how do you say disfraz? No, you say, fancy dress.
Yes.
And there's obviously a different meaning.
Yes.
Fancy can also mean, if you talk about a fancy, I'm going to go out to a fancy restaurant.
That's true.
Stay in a fancy hotel.
Americans, there's so many meanings to this word. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a complicated. Well, I said we're another podcast, but
we
may as well talk about it now as it's come up. So if you say a fancy restaurant, it means elegant, special.
It does.
Posh is another word.
Posh,
So a fancy restaurant is a Michelin star, or I don't know, quite elegant, expensive. So I suppose fancy dress comes from that, if you think about it. So fancy dress is not the kind of things you wear every day, because it's for a special occasion, for Halloween or carnival. So it's unusual, it's different. So going to a special restaurant for a special occasion is not the typical, you know, McDonald's that you would go to normally, or you'd say, it's a special occasion. Let's go to a really fancy restaurant.
Yes.
So it's sort of connected. The idea of the fancy dress is not your normal way of dressing.
That's right.
It's for a special occasion, for a fancy dress party.
Yeah.
And going to a fancy hotel or a fancy restaurant. So it's a, interesting word, no, various meanings.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because that kind of connects with the idea of the fact that many Spanish speakers say often to dress up. They don't want to say, they don't really mean that. I mean, because to dress up often, well, actually has two meanings, doesn't it?
Yeah,
to dress up actually has two meanings. So you can actually, well, to dress up, obviously you can like, is where you kind of make your, you wear something formal, right?
Yeah.
So you could dress up for an occasion, right?
Yeah.
But also, I think that it also has a connection to the old idea of disfrazarse, you know, to dress up for a fancy dress, I don't know, party, you know?
Exactly. So,
so it's quite confusing, right?
And that
can be very, and so most of the time, that whole idea of dress up, most Spanish speakers should probably avoid that because it's not what they're trying to say, right? They're kind of just trying to say that they want to get dressed. You know, that's what they're trying to say. And so in many cases, the idea of dress up is really just get rid of that up, because in the end, you know, you need to get dressed rather than dress up. Yeah.
Dress up yourself,
they sometimes say.
Well, yes. I suppose the up, if you think about it, it's like up is like dressing up to the next level. So putting on something special, elegant, more formal. So if you're going to a fancy restaurant, a Michelin star restaurant or expensive in the Ritz Hotel in Madrid.
Yeah.
So if you're going to a fancy restaurant, you need to dress up, meaning put on your best dress or your best clothes.
Yeah.
So a man perhaps wearing a suit and tie, and a woman an elegant evening, a cocktail dress.
Yeah.
So that's dressing up. So it's not dressing, it's not wearing your normal clothes that you wear every day to go to work.
That's
so this
right.
idea of fancy has that sort of sense of something different, unusual, special, elegant.
Yeah.
So there is a connection there. And also dressing up in the sense of fancy dress.
Fancy dress, yes.
Which is not elegant because you're dressed as Spider-Man or as Dracula.
Yeah.
But it's not usual. It's not your normal everyday clothes.
Exactly. Obviously. Yeah.
You don't dress as Frankenstein to go to the office.
So
it's still got that sense of different, unusual, not the habitual, no?
Yes, that's right. Exactly. Yeah.
So
yeah, fantastic. I mean, all of that is just for one particular word that we covered there, which was fancy. But so what we were also thinking about doing was talking very, very quickly about the idea of what we might be looking forward to, especially now maybe the pandemic has subsided, right?
Finally, it seems, I hope.
Yes.
Fingers crossed.
And you were telling me the other day that you were looking forward to seeing your mates. And we thought that we should kind of maybe explain that type of the whole idea of mates and why it's an important word, especially in the UK, right?
Yeah, and Australia.
And Australia, that's true.
Maybe even more than Britain. Australians love the word mate. And they use it all the time for everybody as their mate.
That's right.
So yeah, when I said I was looking forward to seeing or meeting my mates for a beer in Madrid, because we haven't seen each other, all of us together at least, since before the pandemic, so 2 years more or less.
Yeah.
So we really fancied getting together to have a beer.
using both expressions there.
Using both expressions.
Yeah.
So my mates are my friends. So my oldest mates in Madrid is a group of English guys who we met, well, I think in the first week or 2 weeks when I first came to Madrid, almost 25 years ago.
That's incredible, isn't it?
So we're old mates. They're my best mates.
Yeah.
So my friends, no, my best friends.
Yeah.
So mate in that sense just means a friend. Un amigo. Yeah. Tu mejor amigo is your best mate.
Your best mate, absolutely.
Yeah. However, Daniel, we can use mate in another sense to do with work environment, no, or business.
We can, yes, we can. I mean, it's kind of like it's, for example, as a workmate, for example, which is kind of very useful, specific word, partly because other alternatives are a bit tricky, right?
Yeah.
And the other alternative in this particular case is the idea of the word colleague, right?
Colleague.
Now, colleague for the two of us is kind of maybe quite easy to pronounce, but in terms of our experience with Spanish speakers, right, it's so often then just changed or adapted or just pronounced maybe slightly incorrectly, and it kind of goes very easily to college, right?
College.
College. So, I assume it's partly because it's like most people have seen the word and they just kind of maybe pronounce it as they would see it. Or it's kind of like, it's interesting to think where that particular mistake might come from, but it often reoccurs, right? And so this whole idea of workmate can be very useful to avoid that mistake, right?
Yes, because all my students, or most of my students or clients, have a problem with that word. So they, to say colleague, they end up saying, it sounds like colegio, no?
That's college. Right. Yeah.
And I say, no, college is a school, like going to college or exactly, university.
Yeah.
It can
yeah.
be.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
a colleague. Both, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, you can avoid that word if you have problems pronouncing it, which many people do, Spanish speakers, to say your workmate.
Mm-hmm.
So mate in that sense means compañero, no? Compañero de trabajo.
Yeah.
Which extends to flatmate, compañero de piso.
Yeah.
Classmate.
Yeah.
So the university or school, you have classmates.
Exactly.
And then it doesn't mean friend. It means compañero. So you have to distinguish those two things, because your workmates are not necessarily your mates.
That's right.
They could be uh-huh. both.
They could be both, yeah.
They could be your workmate at work, and then out of work, you socialize together, and they could also be your mate. So, you know, you have to be careful. But yes, instead of saying colleague, which is difficult to pronounce for some people or many, you say workmate or perhaps co-worker. That's quite a fashionable term in recent years, to say co-worker.
Co-worker is nice.
Instead of workmate.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's it, really.
Generally, yes. Yes, I think those two are definitely very useful to remember. Workmate and co-worker, it makes it extremely clear, right? And that's always very, very important, because there can be, you know, other types of confusion. I suppose maybe also while we're talking about mates, it's also kind of important to highlight that when you are in the UK, mate can mean many different things, right? Yes. Although we are saying, you know, the whole idea, if you heard the expression, oh, he's my best mate, then definitely it would be your best friend, right? But mm-hmm. but people in the UK, they kind of use it for all different types of expressions, and it doesn't always mean that that person is absolutely your best friend. It might be just that you've literally met them 2 seconds ago, right? Lots of people use that expression somebody they've just seen, right?
Exactly. So yeah, it doesn't actually mean friend many times. It's just a way to refer to a person. Usually a man.
Mm-hmm.
You could use it for a woman, perhaps, but people just call you, hey, mate. Yeah. So somebody in the street you've never met before, they can come up to you because they just want to speak to you about something.
That's
maybe
right.
Maybe you've blocked them in with your car.
Yeah, and yes,
you've double parked and they say, hey, mate, is that your car? Yeah. Could you move it, please?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. All right, mate. All right, mate. Don't get angry. So you're referring to this man you've just met in the street who maybe is angry with you. So you can use it in a negative. Hey, what do you think you're doing, mate?
That's right. In fact,
they're not your friend.
Yeah, it's the exact opposite almost, right?
So it loses its meaning. It's just a way to refer to a person you don't know. I suppose in Spanish, I don't like saying, hey, Dio.
Dio, sí, Dio.
In Spanish, in Spain, at least.
That's right, yeah.
In other Spanish-speaking countries, I don't know if they
It might be different,
tío.
Yeah.
Probably
yeah.
is different. But here in Spain, it's very, to call a man Tio and a woman Tia. So, which sounds strange when I first heard that. I was like, what, your uncle?
Yes. that is kind of an interesting one. You know, that's I've totally sort of got used to that idea.
Yeah, I don't think about it.
No, I don't think about it either, but it's kind of like...
But when you hear it for the first time, you say, hey, Tio, you go, uncle? What?
He's your uncle. All right.
He's your uncle. Really. But obviously in English, I suppose it's similar. Mate, you go, yeah, but he's not my friend.
No, in fact,
you're using
the very
word
opposite.
In a neutral way or a different meaning. No?
Yeah, yeah.
And as I said, we talked about Australians. Well, Australians love the word mate. So everyone is their mate.
Yes.
So Australians say, hey, mate. You know, they refer to almost everybody as mate,
yes.
whether they really are your mate or not.
No? Yeah, I think the Australians take it to a whole new level.
Take it to another level.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So but, you know, British people also, we like this word. No?
We do. Yeah, absolutely.
Like cheers. Absolutely. Do you remember we talked about cheers?
So maybe we did, very similar.
Maybe getting off the
similar.
Bus, you say, cheers, mate,
yes.
to the bus driver. He's not your mate. You've never met him before.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. Exactly. Great. Yeah. Fantastic. Exactly. So I think that's a very good explanation of the whole idea of the word mate. It's certainly true that in terms of clients that I've had in the past, those that have been to the UK or maybe even Australia, they've often come back and they use that expression. You know, they might come into the session with me or get online with me and they say, how are you doing, mate? And so that's kind of like immediately I know that most of the time that means that that person has had some sort of experience in the UK or Australia or somewhere specifically,
because they've either got a partner who's British or Australian, or they've lived there, or they must have had, or they've been watching a lot of British TV, or because otherwise it's very unusual for a Spanish speaker to know that word in that way.
It's true. Yeah.
And talking of partner,
yes.
So I said partner meaning your.
Yes.
So when you live with some, when you have a serious relationship with somebody, maybe you live together, but you're not married, obviously you can't say you're my wife or my husband. Mm-hmm. Well, you can, some people do, but technically they're not, legally speaking, they're mm-hmm. not your wife or husband.
That's true.
So if you say my girlfriend, boyfriend, it sounds less serious, no?
It sounds more like a teenager thing, right?
Teenagers, my girlfriend.
Yeah, or yes, yes.
Or you just see each other at weekends, no, to go out together, but you don't live together.
Yeah.
So you want a word that makes your relationship sound more serious, more permanent.
Yes.
So you say my partner.
Yes.
So it's a good word. So sometimes Spanish speakers refer to their colleagues or their co-worker or their workmates as my partner. It's very common they say my
it's
partner.
True. They do, yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
And this sounds a bit strange because it sounds more like your romantic partner, like you're in a relationship with that person.
Yes.
Out of work.
Yes.
You could work with your partner. So if you both work in the same office, you are literally working with your partner.
Yeah.
It's a different meaning.
Yeah. And it's unlikely, right?
And it's unlikely.
Well, it does happen, actually.
Some people meet their partner at work.
That's true, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
They begin as a colleague and they become your partner.
That's right.
But that's outside work, obviously. So,
yeah.
So what would partner mean? You can use it in a business sense or a work sense, but it would have a different meaning.
Yes. I mean, I think if you wanted to be specific about maybe more like a business context, then you could potentially say something like a business partner, right? Yeah. Now, that can have different meanings as well. So it's a bit tricky in that way, because business partner might be that you've set up the business with that particular person, right? It's like a 50-50 share, right? Yeah. My business partner is and I have created a new limited company or something like that, right?
Yeah, so that's a legal term, that you are business partners. You formed a partnership.
That's right.
Which is a business, it's a contract, you know, it's a business relationship.
Exactly.
So you open a restaurant together and you go 50-50 on the investment.
Yeah.
And you both sign a contract that you have a business relationship. So you are now business partners.
Exactly.
And you have a partnership.
That makes it very obvious, right? Because you're not saying my partner, and then, you know, there's a whole range of confusion there, potentially, certainly if you're in a business environment. So if you do put business partner, then it becomes a little
it
bit
clarifies
clearer.
Exactly, absolutely. The meaning.
Absolutely. So that's good. So so much stuff there. It's incredible. I mean, one thing that we just wanted to finish with, right, was the idea that often Spanish speakers also say my couple. And I think that we will cover this in the next episode. But it is just one of those also mistakes where it's kind of the other way around, right? Where people say they want to talk about their romantic partner and they say my couple. Right.
Yeah.
That is so common. But I think
we should leave that for another day.
We should definitely leave that, because that is definitely a whole new episode.
So opening another can of worms.
That's right.
And there's another expression.
Absolutely.
One day we have to come back to some of the expressions used in the podcast.
That's right.
I think I said, in the first, in our estreno, I used the expression, every cloud has a silver lining. But we never explained it. So
that's right. So
some of these, I think we need to come back to them and explain them.
Absolutely. So thank you very much, Alistair, for your time. Really amazing. I really enjoyed it. So,
and I hope you're feeling better, that you're not feeling under the weather next week.
Hopefully.
For the next podcast.
Hopefully. All right. Great. So thanks a lot. And we'll speak again next week. All right.
Okay. Bye.
See you then. Bye.
So there you go. I hope you enjoyed that episode of the Transforma tu Inglés Profesional podcast. If you have any feedback or just want to get in touch with us for any particular reason, you can do that through our email address, which is coach@danielsmith.es. And just send us a quick email and we'd love to hear from you. All your feedback is very, very welcome. And for now, thank you very much and I hope to see you again next week.